Yeah, just for a few minutes. I thought we'd look at what it means to be baptized, because I do appreciate that for people who haven't seen one of these before, it is almost a strange spectacle. I do get that. But the reason that we do it, and the reason that we do it this way, and the reason why we do it with a lot of water, is because we're trying to represent something of what Cynthia just read. That 2,000 years ago, when Jesus wants to get baptized, he goes down to the River Jordan, and he gets his cousin John the Baptist to baptize him there. And so, at the Baptist Church, I mean, the clue's in the name, we try and recreate some of that by using a lot of water, and I want us for a few minutes to think about what that means. When Jesus is baptized, he comes out of the water, and it says that there was a spirit that looked like a dove that came down from heaven and rested on him. When you think of a dove, what do you think of? Anyone? Peace? Peace? That's what Google agrees with. Simply, if we can have the next one, please. Yeah. That's great. If you think of a dove, you think of peace. Think of peace. I've been thinking about peace a lot in the last 6 months. For those of you who don't know me, I'm married to Charity, and we're very proud parents of a baby boy who is now 6 months old. Those of you who have got kids, you'll know that your definition of peace changes in those first 6 months. I think that maybe before Boaz was born, my picture of peace was maybe a tranquil island, sandy beaches, blue. Now it's 2 hours where he doesn't cry. And I mean, you've got him. Those of you who have ever tried to look after Boaz for a little bit, Johnny and Martha have been brilliant, but they do know. So, like, you take him in a car journey, and then he eventually falls asleep, and then you pick him up, and he's still asleep, and you walk over to the bed, and you do everything so slowly. You just put him down, he's sound asleep. As soon as that hand goes, he looks at you. What are you doing? Don't leave me. And so my view of peace has changed over the last 6 months into the absence of crying. And that's not Boaz, that's me. That's unfair. He's a good kid. He's getting better. But I was thinking about this because the passage that Jess chose to be read, which is a fantastic passage, it says in it, if you would love life, if you want a life that you love, and if you want to see good days, what have you got to do? Well, you've got to keep your tongue from evil. Don't lie. Turn from evil and rubbish and stuff that kills you. Do good. They must seek peace and pursue it. I was thinking, well, if we want a life that we love, if we want to live a good life, if we want to think of the end of a day, oh, that was another good day, then we need to seek peace. And unfortunately, my definition of peace, which is without a screaming baby, that's a definition of peace that's beyond my control. So if for you, you think, if only I could get to a situation where there wasn't all the rubbish happening around me, then I'd be peaceful. It's not true. Oh, if only I could get to that beach in the Bahamas, then it would be all right. If only the family situation died down, then it would be peaceful. If only this and this and this could happen, then I'd get peace. Then my life would be good. Paul says, no. Actually, peace isn't something that happens around you. Peace is something that happens inside of you. You ever been in a really traumatic situation? And you look around and everyone's freaking out, but there's normally a few people who have still got peace, even when everything else seems to be going wrong. You probably saw the news over the last few weeks of the kids who have been taken out of the caves. And every now and then you've got someone on TV who just looks like they knew they had peace. Even though all this stuff's going on in their life, they look like they've got peace. My prayer for Jess is that she would know what Jesus knew as he came out of the baptism. And the dove came and landed on him. It was a symbol of peace. I pray that for Jess she would know peace. Not because life is always perfect. We all know it's not. Not because we all get to retire on a Bahamas beach. No, that's not realistic. Our view of peace is not a lack of crying, a lack of noise and aggravation around us. No, peace isn't something that happens outside of us. Peace is something that happens within us, independent of the circumstances that we're in. Jesus offers us that peace. The Bible talks about a peace that transcends understanding. It doesn't make sense. The world is all going wrong and there's chaos and there's anarchy, but you still have peace within you. It transcends understanding. Why? Because it's something inside you. Because you know that you're loved. You know who you are. you are fully centered. And that allows you to have peace, regardless of the trials that happen. The other good thing about baptism, which I really like, is the fact that we do use a lot of water, which I think is quite a nice... I mean, many of you will have seen baptisms in the Church of England, and they're brilliant, but because they're babies, you can't really use it. You just have to do like a little bit on their forehead. But I feel like we miss something with that, because when you want to get clean, you've got to use a lot of water, haven't you? Well, I mean, I do. I spent most of yesterday... My mum, for her 58th birthday, said she wanted a basketball hoop, which I thought was a brilliant idea, so we bought her one. And so all of yesterday, I spent most of it playing basketball. I used to think I was quite good. And then Charity, who, my understanding, has never played a competitive game of basketball in her life, managed to beat me twice. So anyway, learning humility this weekend. And you come back after a day of doing that, and like your feet are just caked in mud, and you look like this kid on the screen. And you just want to get clean. You can't do that with a little sprinkling on your forehead, can you? If you want to symbolise getting clean, you use a lot of water. We've all got our beginnings story. Your beginnings story. And what I mean by that is when I ask you, so tell me a little bit about yourself, some people immediately go back to the same story, don't they? So you say, oh, tell me a little bit about yourself. And they say, oh, yes, I came from a well-to-do family. That's their beginning story. What kind of life have you lived? Oh, yeah, my parents were rich. Or maybe you were born on the wrong side of the tracks. That's why we did that welcome thing at the start, because we've all got different stories, different beginning stories, and everyone's welcome here. Maybe your beginning story was that you were bullied at school, or you've always been a high achiever, or you're mummy's boy, or you never knew your dad. Now, the reason why I really like baptism, the reason why I think it's great to use a lot of water, is because baptism for us, that becomes our beginning story. That's the thing that we... Tell me a little bit about yourself and just can say, I'm loved. That's my beginning story. Obviously, we've all got family. We've all got history. We've all been through school. We've all got things that happened in our... All of us have got these stories that, and they're important parts of who we are, but they're not the most important part of who you are. We've all got these things that we like to, oh yeah, I was a high achiever, or yeah, I was born on the wrong side of the track. All of these things, they might be important, but they're not the most important. The reason why we use a lot of water is it symbolises being clean, because that is your beginnings story. When Jesus comes up out of the water, God, the dove comes down, and the voice of God says, this is my beloved son, in whom I am well pleased. And why does God say that? Because he's from Essex. Good, yeah, some of you have heard my story. I am well pleased, because God is from Essex. Contrary to what the theologians have said for the past 2,000 years, I should have. God says, I am well pleased. Because for Jesus, the most important thing about his story is no longer the fact he was a refugee, which he was no longer the fact that there were questions about who his dad was, which there were, and no longer the questions about the fact that he didn't do much of note between the time of being 12 and 30, which is also true. The most important thing for Jesus at that point is to know that he has a God who loves him. It's why we use a lot of water, because it symbolises you are clean. There is no longer anything between you and God to separate. You are clean. You are loved. You are accepted exactly as you are. That is the beginnings story. You don't need to say 100 Hail Marys. You don't need to put a certain amount of money in the offering. You don't need to turn up to church enough times to become right with God. We use a lot of water because for Jess, that is now her beginning story. That she is loved. That she is made clean. There is no barrier between her and God. It offers us peace. It offers us a new start. And finally, Jesus offers us hope. It says in the passage that Jess chose, which is such a wonderful passage, he was put to death in the body, but he was made alive in the spirit. Some of you may know that, okay, so we use a lot of water to symbolise being clean. But the whole thing about lowering someone back and then pulling them back up again, then that is... It's a bit macabre, but it is a symbol of dying, like being lowered back. It is. But we don't end there, which is good. Purely for health and safety reasons, that's a benefit. But also because it like ties into the whole meaning behind it. But we lower someone down as a symbol of being of death. And then we lift them back up as a symbol of new life. It says in the passage just read, speaking of Jesus, he was put to death in the body, but he was made alive in the Holy Spirit. You see, I believe in resurrection. I do. I believe it is possible for tomorrow to look different to yesterday. I do not believe that we are on a downward trajectory towards entropy and chaos. I believe there is a possibility and a truth and a value in resurrection. I believe there is truth in new things coming up out of old things. I believe in the possibility of tomorrow looking different to yesterday, because we die, but we are raised again. And I'm not just talking about after death. I didn't become a Christian because of what might happen to me after I die. I became a Christian because I believe that following Jesus is the best way to live now. Because I believe in resurrection. I believe in infinite possibilities. I believe in the power of surprise. Because dead people don't come back to life. But the story of Jesus is that he was dead in the body, but made alive in the spirit. Which is why, that when we baptise Jess, we don't just lower her down. We also lift her back up again. One, because we like her, but also because it is a symbol that all of the rubbish and the things that we carry and the muck and the grime and the stuff we wish we'd never done, we can kill it. We can put it to death. And as we come back up, we can know that there is a possibility of new life. That tomorrow doesn't have to look the same as yesterday, because we believe in the power of resurrection. We believe in the power of surprise. We believe in the power of a new start and new beginnings. We believe in the power of hope. So Jess, those are my three prayers for you for baptism. I really pray that you know God's peace. Not that everything around you would always be perfect and you'd live on a beach in Barbados, but that you'd know peace on the inside. That means regardless of what happens around you, that you would know peace. I pray that you would know a fresh start, that you would know you are made clean, that you are loved, that there is nothing between you and God. And I pray that you'd always know hope. That tomorrow can always be different. That there is a possibility of surprise and unexpected and beauty, even when things look a little bit like on the screen. Because we believe in hope. We believe in resurrection. We believe that death doesn't get the last word. Let's pray together. And we're going to finish our service with a final song. Thanks, Charity. Let's pray. Father, for those of us who feel overwhelmed by the chaos around us, we ask that we would know your peace that surpasses all understanding. God, for those of us who feel like our beginning story is far too negative and tied up with how our childhood went, or the people that didn't like us, or the words that were spoken, God, we ask you would give us a new beginnings story, that we are loved because we are loved because we are loved, that there can no longer be a barrier between us and you. And God, for those of us here this morning who feel hopeless, who feel despondent, who feel they are trapped in a cycle, I pray we would receive your hope, that we would know the power of your resurrection in our lives today. Not just as something that happened 2,000 years ago, but day by day we would know the power of new beginnings, of new starts, of hope. Because we thank you, God, that you get the last word over our lives. Amen. Amen.